Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I'm not, I want to be. We're reading through the Bible, and this we're in 1 Samuel now, and this is the 18th chapter. There's 30 verses in here, and we need to go to the, let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this tape. For as many as two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, you're here. We know that you're living in us, but we're asking that you will open up everyone's heart, their spirit, their ears, their mind, to receive your word, that you anoint this word and the commentary and the translations into their minds so that they know exactly what you're saying and the different rules and regulations that they must abide by in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, glorify your name and glorify yourself, Lord, your spirit, by saving a soul, many souls, from this tape. We give you the praise. Oh, there's more. All right, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll put a stop to all the things that are going on in the world that are totally contrary from you. We, Lord, worship you. We praise you. We know that we've been called to worship you and to win souls. Lord, for all those that worship you, Lord, you're a spirit. We must worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the thanks. Lord, not let there not be anything done or said here on this tape today that is not directly from your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, let not anyone give place to the devil. Let these words and everything that's done on this tape sink deeply into everyone's soul, into their spirit, in their mind, in Jesus' name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, I felt the Spirit of the Lord anointing already. And now before the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, we have a couple of letters here that Donna will read. Is it Donna?
No.
Who is it?
It's Michelle.
Michelle, okay. Keep getting you mixed up. No, I'm just kidding. Here, go ahead.
The first one's from Ghana, Africa. It says, "Dear Pastor, one of your literatures entitled Thanks has been given to me by this wonderful Bible studies friend of mine here. Really speaking, it has been a great eye-opener for me. I am a young girl of nearly 18 years old and a student in the second year. Until reading your literature, stories about Jesus were mere stories in my ears. But this, your literature entitled Thanks, has done a great work in my life, and I now regard myself as a complete Christian living for God. I now believe that Jesus died on the cross because of my deadly sins. I sincerely repent of my sins and open my heart to let in Jesus Christ. In this wise, I want you to send me cassette recordings, more literatures, and a Holy Bible to aid me to learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would be grateful if I could have extra copies for my Bible studies friends. Hoping that this, my humble request, will meet your favorable consideration. Thanks very much in advance. May the Lord richly bless you for saving souls for Christ. I look forward to hearing from you really very soon. Yours faithfully, D.T. from Ghana, Africa."
Okay, praise the Lord. That's really nice. But I don't save souls. I just preach the gospel, and the Lord does the saving. Amen?
Amen.
He washes them in his blood and then fills them with his spirit. Now, what's the next? Who is the next letter from? Where is it from?
Bogosa, Ghana.
Okay. We have a large following there in Ghana, all over throughout Africa and India and Philippines, all over the world, over 200 countries. Go ahead.
"Dear Pastor Alamo, praise the Lord. My salutations to the most beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have read your literature, Dry Bones, and have been spiritually strengthened and encouraged. Many people are truly living like dry bones without the Word of God, and the work that you are doing for these people is priceless. It is also the most wonderful work. Dear sir, please send me your Bible and other gospel literature, and also the Messiah. Your literature is truly turning many souls to God. I am working in a small village as an evangelist. In this village, there are many who are not aware of the Lord Jesus Christ. I therefore request you to send me your valuable literature, through which I will be able to win many souls for our Lord. I received your newsletters in a town called Bogosa in the western region of Ghana, where they were being distributed. I therefore say good, well done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray for my church and my work for the Lord. My sincere desire is that God bless you in a very special way. I will be grateful if you send me a Bible and also Messiah books for the winning of many souls to the Lord through evangelism. May God bless you, your wonderful work, and all your family. Hoping in the Lord to hear from you soon. Yours faithfully, A.B. from Bogosa, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you too. And everyone else is doing the work of the Lord. All right. And so let's get started now with chapter 18 of 1 Samuel.
Saul becomes jealous of David. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul.
A lot of homosexuals try to make it as though David and Jonathan were homosexuals. And because love is the keeping of God's commandments. What it was, they loved each other because they both agreed that the Word of God was absolutely right. And the Word of God, they agreed that homosexuality is not of the Lord, but it's of the devil and needs to be put to death back in those ages. And God did put them to death by pouring out fire and brimstone on them. So don't let anyone try to tell you that these two were homosexuals, because David, God says that he was the apple of his eye, and that David had too many wives for anyone to believe, and too many children for anyone to believe that he's homosexual. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuals won't even they don't even like to talk to women. Some of them will, you know, if they're designers and they figure that there can be some kind of, if they can make money at it, but they certainly are not married to as many wives as David had. The Holy Spirit would not have anointed David to write all that he had and have done all that he had and to have such great communion with the Lord if he'd ever been even close to homosexual. God loves a man that is a man. He does not say that any homosexual was the apple of his eye. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever told you that is speaking from a pig's eye. All right, then what else?
Verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle.
I mean, you see these boxers today, they have beaten each other up at the end of the fight. They go over and hug each other. Are they homosexual? No. Or wrestlers, you know, they're throwing each other over the ring, and they go out and to dinner together afterwards and everything. And they put their arms around each other. And there's all kinds of fraternities for brotherhoods and stuff like that. And then there's homosexuality, which is of the devil, which certainly of the devil. Then what else?
Verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over.
Do homosexuals behave themselves wisely?
No.
Wisdom means that you have the fear of the Lord. Homosexuals don't have any fear of God. None whatsoever. He said, just let us live the way we will. David and King Solomon wrote, you know, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
And the whole duty of man is to, Solomon said, that's David's son, is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's all people have to do. And it's obvious that homosexuals and lesbians do not fear God. So, you know, this is the true doctrine of the Lord that I'm preaching and teaching here. Okay, then go ahead.
And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
Yeah, here's his homosexual. They say that he's a homosexual going out there, and nobody else in the whole, all of Israel would go out to fight this giant but him. Okay, I think that big man, you know, in a little body. Praise the Lord. And then what?
Verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music.
Right, because Goliath bit the dust. David killed him. Go ahead.
Verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.
Uh-oh. Jealousy. Okay, then what?
Verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?
Yeah, they're paying attention to David, and they're not paying any attention to me. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. And saw I David from that day forward. Verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Translation, verse 1 through 10. Saul becomes jealous of David. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond of love between them, and they became the best of friends.
Love is the keeping of God's commandments. So they were, you know, keeping the commandments before each other. Then what else?
Verse 2. From that day...
Love is not sex, okay? I can love the Hope Diamond. That doesn't mean I want to have sex with it. Amen?
Yeah.
I can love apple trees and orange trees and groves and flowers, but I'm not going to have sex with them. Okay? So I just admire them and have loved. I just love the smell of different perfumes, you know. Whatever. There's all kinds of things people love. Love is not sex. Sex is sex, okay? So when they admired each other, they loved the way that each one of them was. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 2. From that day on, Saul kept David with him at the palace and wouldn't let him return home. Verse 3. And Jonathan made a special vow to be David's friend. Verse 4. And he sealed the pact by giving him his robe, tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Verse 5. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander in his army, an appointment that was applauded by the fighting men and officers alike. Verse 6. But something happened when the victorious Israelite army was returning home, after David had killed Goliath. Women came out from all the towns along the way to celebrate and to cheer for King Saul, and they sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. Verse 7, this was their song, quote, Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s.
Any real man would have said, yay, amen, this guy is really a good, I made him commander of my troops. You know, and then everybody would have just said, still Saul would have been number one, you know. Because he's saying, this guy is under me, and he's the head of my troops, right?
Right.
Why would you be jealous of somebody that's a chief person that is your defender, your bodyguard, or something like that that's going to fight for you? Amen?
Amen.
And lead your soldiers. Why, that just makes you a bigger man. Even people that are presidents of the United States, they command their different commanders and generals and things like that. And they don't say, if somebody says, boy, that General Eisenhower or whatever, Douglas MacArthur are great, they don't start throwing javelins at him for it. Amen? It's ridiculous, Saul. Okay, what else?
Verse 8, this made Saul very angry. Quote, what's this? Unquote, he said. Quote, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands.
Right, because David killed Goliath. Why didn't you go out there, Saul, and kill him? Okay, with your sling. Okay, no, he let David go out there because he was afraid. Okay, what else?
Next, they'll be making him their king, exclamation mark, unquote.
He rightly prophesied that. Then what else? God made him the king, though. Then what?
Verse 9, so from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Verse 10, the very next day, in fact, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave like a madman. David began to play the harp, as he did whenever this happened. But Saul, who had a spear in his hand, King James Version, verse 11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Translation, verse 11. Suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David jumped aside and escaped. This happened another time as well. King James Version, verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. Verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Verse 17, and Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Verse 18.
Yeah, in other words, let the Philistines kill David, so I don't get in trouble with the Lord. Let not me do it, but let the Philistines kill him. Okay, then what? Just like David sending Uriah out to the hottest part of the battle, amen?
Amen.
Let not me kill him. Okay, then what else?
Verse 18, and David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? Verse 19, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. Verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Translation, verse 12 through 20. For Saul was afraid of him, and he was jealous because the Lord had left him and was now with David. Verse 13. Finally, Saul banned him from his presence and appointed him commander over only 1,000 men. But David faithfully led his troops into battle. Verse 14. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. Verse 15. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. Verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David.
So that should teach people that there are people in the church that can do great and mighty jobs for the Lord other than the pastor. Amen?
Amen.
Other than the king. The king was the king, and he did a lot of good things. But here's little David. He's a new person. But he loves the Lord, and he's out doing his job for Israel. Amen?
Amen.
For the Lord. And so everybody's, if it's your will to do something for the Lord, no one's holding you back. It's for sure I'm not. Okay? You can do mighty things, mighty work for the Lord inside the church, the body of Christ. Go ahead.
But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. David marries Saul's daughter. Verse 17. One day Saul said to David, quote, I am ready to give you my older daughter, Merab, as your wife. But first, you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles, unquote. For Saul thought to himself, quote, I'll send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself, unquote. Verse 18, quote, Who am I and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law, unquote, David exclaimed. Quote, My father's family is nothing, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 19, So when the time came for the wedding, Saul gave Merab in marriage to Adriel, a man from Mahlah. Verse 20, In the meantime, Saul's daughter Michal had fallen in love with David, and Saul was delighted when he heard about it. King James Version, verse 21, And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Verse 22. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Verse 23. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Verse 24, And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. Verse 25, And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Verse 26. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Verse 27. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Translation, verse 21 through 30. Here's another chance to see him killed by the Philistines, exclamation mark, Saul said to himself. But to David he said, quote, I have a way for you to become my son-in-law after all, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 22. Then Saul told his men to say confidentially to David, quote, The king really likes you, so do we. Why don't you accept the king's offer and become his son-in-law? Unquote. Verse 23. When Saul's men said these things to David, he replied, quote, How can a poor man from a humble family afford the bride's price for the daughter of a king? Unquote. Verse 24. When Saul's men reported this back to the king, Verse 25, he told them, quote, Tell David that all that I have and all that I want for the bride's price is 100 Philistine foreskins, exclamation mark, unquote. Vengeance on my enemies is all I really want, unquote. But what Saul had in mind was that David would be killed in the fight. Verse 26, David was delighted to accept the offer. So before the time limit expired, Verse 27, he and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines, and presented all their foreskins to the king. So Saul gave Michal to David to be his wife. Verse 28. When the king realized how much the Lord was with David and how much Michal loved him, verse 29, he became even more afraid of him, and he remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Verse 30. Whenever the Philistine army attacked, David was more successful against them than all the rest of Saul's officers. So David's name became very famous throughout the land.
Okay, that was chapter 18 of 1 Samuel with the 30 verses in translation, and now we've got some commentary.
18 verse 1 through 4. In giving David his royal robe, his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt, Jonathan was giving his authority of succession to his father's throne to David. 18 verse 2. This does not mean that David never again went home, but that he no longer resided at home, since his residence was the palace of Saul. 18 verse 10. Prophesied is perhaps better understood as, quote, raved, unquote, under the influence of his distressing spirit. 18 verse 17. Saul's strategy is to place David in the major battles with the Philistines in order that he may be killed in battle. 18 verse 19. Nothing more is known of Adriel the Meholathite, Meholathite, nor of Saul's reasons for giving his daughter in marriage to him. Mahola was located on the west bank of the Jordan, about 23 miles south of the Sea of Galilee. 18 verse 21, quote, a snare to him, unquote. Saul presumes that David will put his own life in jeopardy in order to win Michal as his wife. 18 verse 23, quote, poor and lightly esteemed, unquote, means that his family has no high social standing and he has no money for the dowry. 18 verse 30. The Philistines inhabited what is the modern-day Gaza Strip. They were constantly trying to expand their borders and bring the Israelites under slavery and taxation. 18 verse 1 through 4. God graciously provided David with a close friend in the person of Jonathan. This friendship later helped David survive Saul's various attempts on his life. God created us to be close to people and to need their companionship and help. The importance of a significant friend to whom one can be accountable during maturity cannot be overestimated. Becoming mature is not possible without accountability. David and Jonathan. It is amazing that David and Jonathan formed one of the greatest friendships ever recorded in history. Exclamation mark. There were vast differences between the two. The oldest son of King Saul, Jonathan, was heir apparent to the throne of Israel. He was an experienced soldier, distinguished for his courage in battle. He is probably 15 years older than David. David, on the other hand, was the youngest son of Jesse and was the shepherd in the town of Bethlehem. When Jonathan first met him, David was probably a teenager and looked the part of the junior shepherd boy. Although he demonstrated the bold heart of a warrior when he defeated Goliath, he was primarily known as a talented musician in King Saul's court. There seemed to be two basic ingredients that shaped this unlikely relationship. One, they shared a common faith and commitment to God. And two, they loved each other very much. They just liked hanging out with each other. Their friendship was put to the test, however. David was anointed by Samuel, the prophet, to succeed Saul as king. As a result, Saul tried repeatedly to kill David. This placed Jonathan at odds with his father. He risked himself to protect and encourage David, the one who would take his place as Israel's future king. No wonder David grieved so deeply at Jonathan's untimely death! Exclamation mark. It is a gift to have a friend who loves a person so much. Building these relationships in our life is very valuable in becoming fully mature in faith and being able to do a work for the Lord by the Lord doing His work in and through us, for ourself and for others, and primarily for the Lord.
All right, now you've heard chapter 18 in 1 Samuel with the 30 verses, commentary, and also the translations. And keep your, you know, there's so many lessons that we can learn from each one of these chapters that we need to meditate on them and make them part of our life. So meditate on, you know, there isn't anything that anyone can do to prevent you from being promoted in the eyes when God wants to promote you. But if you're jealous and if you have, you're just vicious to others, God will put you down just as He did Saul. Or if you disregard His commandments and pay no attention to what He says, and you use your own opinions, your own reasonings, rather than obeying the Word of God, well, then God will cut you down, because your own reasonings and own opinions happen to be of the devil. We have to serve the Lord. So meditate on that both day and night. And until chapter 19, God bless you and praise the Lord.